minister at the church in Chillicothe, down in Chillicothe, Ohio. I'm also a chaplain at the Walsh Correctional Institution and the Chillicothe Correctional Institution. So I minister a lot in prisons and also minister in the city of Chillicothe as well, too. And I always, you know, always just appreciate the opportunity to come and speak at other congregations and just see just the brethren in different places. And I always just really, really just enjoy being able to come to other places and worship with other Christians. So I really thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here with you this day. And definitely want to wish all the fathers in here a happy Father's Day. I want to wish all, everyone a happy Father's Day as well, too. And I kind of want to make that the focal point of the lesson today. And I don't want to exclude any of the ladies or anything like that, but I want to kind of focus today on some things to really strengthen the men of this congregation, especially fathers. And ladies, I think you could probably all attest to it. If your husbands or if the men of the congregation are just walking in the way in which Christ wants them to walk, everyone will be blessed for that. So really, you're not being left out at all. So really, I want to go here. I just want to read a verse, which is going to be the crux of what we're going to be looking at today. It's going to be over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And fathers, we want to make sure that we are being the men of God that we need to be. We want to make sure that we are giving God everything that we should give Him. We want to make sure that we are providing the spiritual leadership for our households and for our families. And the crux of the verse, the crux of the message we're going to be looking at today comes from this verse here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Down here, 13 and 14. I'm going to read from the New American Standard. Be on alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. For a few minutes later, we're going to talk and go into this verse in detail and see how this can apply to us as men and as fathers. Let's move to the Lord. Father in heaven, Lord, we love you. And we just thank you, Lord, for giving us this opportunity to be here today, Father. We thank you so much for your word, Lord, and we just thank you for the wisdom and knowledge that's in it, Father. Lord, we just pray that you just be with us this day as we study from your word. We pray that you open our minds and our hearts to your word, Father, so that we can just take the truth and wisdom and knowledge that comes from your word and just take these things and apply them to our lives, Father, so that you can receive all glory, honor, and praise. Lord, pray that you just be with me, just lead me and guide me, Father, let me speak from your word this day, Father. Just use me as a tool, Father, for your glorification and for our edification. We just pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. There are a lot of different analogies that I think that can be used to describe our walks as Christians. And some of these analogies we'll see in the Bible. One way that our Christian lives could kind of be, something our Christian lives can be compared to, is a race. You know, we want to make sure that we run the race, that we stay on course, and that we finish and we get our prize at the end. So I think that's very apt. Another way it could be compared is to a fight. You know, and that we're fighting an opponent, which is Satan, who's trying to beat us, who's trying to overcome us, who's trying to take us down. And I think that's very applicable as well, too. Another way that I would, one of the ways that seems, one of the analogies that seems to just strike home with me the most is a battle. That we're in a battle. That we're in a spiritual battle. The forces of the Lord, the forces of good versus the forces of evil. Now, that's not to say that it's this is an equal battle, because we know that Satan is in no way equal to God. Amen. And we know that Satan is already defeated. Amen. But yet and still, sacrifice. And he wants to take as many souls with him into the pit of hell as he possibly can. Satan wants us. Satan doesn't want us to be here worshiping God today. He doesn't want us to give God glory. He doesn't want us to praise his name. He wants us to reject him. He wants us to let go of our faith. He wants us to just follow our own flesh, do whatever our hearts desire, and leave the Lord behind. Satan wants our families. And as fathers, this is something that we have to realize. Satan wants our families. He wants our wives. He wants our children. He wants them all to go to hell with him. That is the truth. And see, and when we have this mentality of what this Christian life is like, I think it makes this verse make even more sense. Because right at the beginning, notice what he says. He says, be on alert. See, when you're in a war, there is always the necessity of making sure you know where the enemy is. Because if you don't know where the enemy is, the enemy can attack you. They can sneak up to you, and then they can attack you when you are not prepared. And Satan can do the exact same thing. If we are not on the watch, if we're not on the lookout, Satan can creep in unnoticed and come into our lives and come into our homes and impact our lives and destroy us. How does he do this? With sin. Sin. And sin can creep in so many different ways. And as fathers, we have to make sure that we are always on the lookout for sin. Sin coming into our homes. Sin around our children. Sin around our wives. We have to be on the lookout. So what does that mean? What are some ways that it can come in? I think we all know. Sometimes we have to really monitor what's being on our televisions. Here are all different types of things that can be shown at all different hours of the day, and we have to watch out for that. We have to watch out what movies our families watch. Because there can be certain things and certain things that can be shown and depicted on movies which are just absolutely ungodly. We have to watch out for the games that our kids play. My son, he has an Xbox. He plays it, and there's certain games that he wants that I have to tell him, no, you can't have that. Because I know what's in the game. I know the things that they say. I know the things that they do in the game. And no, you can't have that. We have to be careful of how we dress, how our children dress. Sometimes it amazes me the things or the lack of things that people wear. And we have to look and really ask ourselves, is the way that I'm presenting myself something that would give God glory? Is the way that I'm presenting myself something that would bring someone to the Lord or something that would detract and cause someone to stumble? We have to watch out for all of these things. Be on guard. That's the first thing. So Paul says, be to keep watch. Be on the alert. And then he says, stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. Our enemy, Satan, wants us to reject God. He doesn't care in what way we do it. He doesn't care how it looks, just as long as we reject God. That rejection could be very blatant. It could be blatant just like the rejection that he was trying to coerce Job to do in Job chapter 1, verse 11, where after he talked to God and he prompted God to take away his possessions, he said that if he did that, that he would curse him to his face. See, Satan wants
See, God, Satan could want you to reject God in that way, or he could get you or want you to reject God in a way that's a little bit less deliberate through our actions. We could reject God by our disobedience to him, as Satan did with Eve in the Garden of Eden. We look in Genesis chapter 3, where we see that when Satan came to Eve and he said to her, "Now surely, is it all the trees you may not eat?" And then Eve went ahead and said, "Of all the trees we could eat, except for the tree in the middle of the garden, that tree we shall not eat from it or touch it." And then Satan says, "Oh, because if we eat of that tree, then we will die." Then he tells her, "Oh, surely you will not die." He was causing her to reject the direction of God. See, Satan wants us to reject him, so that we are not walking faithfully, so that we are not obeying him, so that we are not doing what he says. And Paul is saying, you know what? Stand firm in the faith. Always make sure that you hold on to your faith in Jesus Christ. No matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody does, no matter what anybody can throw at you, you always hold on to your faith in Jesus Christ. I love the way that Paul put it over here in Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Paul puts it this way. He's talking to the church at Philippi, this church that he likely started. And he says to them over in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them proof of perdition, but to you of salvation." He says, now listen, regardless of whether I'm there with you or if I'm not, regardless if I'm visiting you or if I'm off on some missionary trip somewhere, this is what you should do. You should all have one mind. You should all have one spirit. You should all be on the same page. You should all be acting the same, walking the same. You should all be one in the faith, standing on the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you stand on that no matter what any of your adversaries may do to you. Regardless of if people make fun of you, regardless of if people will persecute you, regardless of if people will talk about you, regardless of if people will think you are nuts, and regardless of if you are an outcast, you make sure you stand firm on the faith. Because your standing on the faith, to you, is proof of your salvation. To them, is proof of their damnation. You stand firm on the faith. And for us as fathers, we need to make sure that no matter what happens, we stand firm on the faith. If drug problems come into your household, you stand firm on the faith. If problems with infidelity come into your household, you stand firm on the faith. If financial problems come into your household, you stand firm on the faith. If problems come in, spiritual issues, where people want to leave the Lord, you stand firm on the faith. Don't let anything shake you. Don't let anything move you. You stand firm on the faith in Jesus Christ. So we watch. We stand firm on the faith. And then he says, we act like men. Act like men. King James says, quit ye like men. Now, what does this mean? Let's flip over here to 1 Samuel. Because we see the same terminology used over here in 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4. We have an interesting account here Because we see over here in 1 Samuel chapter 4 that the Israelites, they're going up against the Philistines. And they've been going up against the Philistines, and they've been losing. The Philistine army, they overtook them. And they beat them. So then they were getting themselves together, and they're like, you know what we need to do is we need to retrieve the Ark of the Covenant from Shiloh. We need to retrieve the Ark of the Covenant. That way God will be with us. And then if God's with us, then there's no way we can lose. So then they go ahead and they retrieve the Ark. And when they see the Ark coming, people are celebrating. They're, woo! So then people are celebrating, and there's just all this ruckus, and it's so loud that the Philistines hear it. And the Philistines are like, what's all this noise going on? And notice what they say. So if we pick it up here, 1 Samuel chapter 4, and verse 5, it says, and when the ark of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. Now, when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what does the sound of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean? Then they understood that the ark of the Lord had come to the camp. So the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is coming to the camp. And they said, woe to us, for such a thing has never happened before. Woe to us. Who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. I mean, can you just imagine what they're thinking? They've heard all the stories about Israel. They've heard all the different things which God has delivered them from. They knew all these previous accounts. And now, here's God with them. And now they're like, oh, what do we do? Now, really, they have about two options. One, you can run. You can say, that's it, I'm done. They got God with them, I'm out of here. Or, you can just fight. Notice what they say. Down here in verse 9, they said, be strong. Conduct yourselves like men, you Philistines, that you do not become the servants of the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Conduct yourselves like men and fight. That's the same terminology that Paul uses in Corinthians. Conduct yourselves like men. Be courageous. Be courageous. See, in the face of adverse circumstances, there's two things we can do. We can run, or we can go ahead and face it. And he's saying, go ahead and act like men. Be courageous. Show courage. See, sometimes being the spiritual leader of your home, sometimes that can be scary. It can be scary sometimes. Because you look at you say, you know what? I'm responsible for these people. I'm responsible for my family. I want to help them in any way that I can to get them to heaven. I want to make sure that I'm protecting them, that I'm watching over them, that I'm guarding them. And sometimes that can be a scary thing. But despite it being a scary thing, we need to still just take courage and do what needs to be done. Act in courage. Be courageous. See, sometimes it will take some courage to tell your wife, you know what, you shouldn't be talking like that. Sometimes it will take some courage to tell your kids, you know what, you can't watch that movie. Sometimes it will take some courage to tell your kids, you know what, I don't want you hanging out with those people. Or you know what, I don't want you wearing that outfit. Or you know what, I'm going to pull you out of that school. Sometimes there will be things that we may have to do as parents that can be scary. But you know what? If you are doing it with the mindset that I am trying to protect and follow my Lord and my God and to spare my family from the effects of this evil, evil world. If that's your motivation, you do whatever you need to do. And God will be with you. Act like men. Act like men. Then down here, he says, be strong. Be strong. We know what strength is. Strength is a measure of the power that a certain thing that shows how much power that a certain individual or a certain thing has. Strength. And a lot of times, strength is shown in the face of resistance. If you work out, if you go to the gym, one of the forms of training that you can do is resistance training. So what you'll do is you'll have weights. And in order to make yourself stronger, the weights will try to resist your movement, and you have to push against them. And in the process of doing that over days and weeks and months, your muscles will grow. You will get stronger. We, as fathers, we have to be strong. We've got to be strong. We cannot allow ourselves to be weak. Proverbs 24, verse 10. I like this verse in the New King James. I'm going to read it from here. Proverbs 24, verse 10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. See, when a little pressure comes upon you, if a little stress comes on you, how do you react? Do you just wilt? Do you just say, oh, I gotta be away. Oh, I gotta go in the office. Oh, I gotta go out and hang out with some guy. Oh, I just need to leave. When these stresses come upon you, what do you do? Do you say, I gotta get a drink? You know, I gotta do A, B, C, X, Y, Z, whatever other sinful thing, just to make myself feel a little bit better. What do you do when adversity comes upon you? We need to be strong. Our wives need us. Our children need us. Our brothers and sisters need us. We need to be strong. Yeah, but you know, it's just a struggle. You know, I just don't know if I can do it. You know, I mean, it's just so hard walking this Christian life. And can it be a struggle? But because our Christian life can sometimes be a struggle, that's not an excuse for us just to walk in perpetual weakness. You know what's going to be a struggle? What's going to be a struggle? If a person is trying to find peace in the pit of hell. That's a struggle. Amen. We have to be strong. Be strong for your family. Be strong for your wives. Be strong for your children. Be strong. He says, let all that you do be done in love. Let everything that you do, no matter what it is, let everything be done in love. And you know, I think love sometimes can be a misunderstood action. And love really, it is an action. You know, because sometimes I think we can just look at love and we can just think of it as all the feelings and the emotions that go along with it. And are there feelings and are there emotions that go along with love? Definitely. And that's true. That's definitely true. But even more important than the feelings and the emotions that can go with love are the actions that go with love. And one of the clearest examples of this that I really like, Paul talks about this over in Ephesians. Look at what he says here. Let's flip over here to Ephesians chapter 4. Or Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. Paul is talking about the love that husbands should have for their wives. And notice what he compares it to. Ephesians 5, verse 28. He says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. For he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. He says that with husbands, husbands should love their wives just as they love their own flesh. Now, what does it mean that husbands love their own flesh? Do we stand in the mirror and go, look at me, why am I so pretty? Come on, love me. Oh, give me a look. Is that what he said? No, that's not what he said. But what does it mean that we love our own flesh? It's not a thing of the emotions or we have fuzzy feelings regarding our flesh, but he says we nourish it. We cherish it. We take care of ourselves. We make sure that we're clothed. We make sure that we're fed. We make sure that we keep ourselves away from pain. If we're sick, we try to heal ourselves. We take care of ourselves. And he equates that with loving our flesh. And in the exact same way, we need to have that same type of love for our families. We need to have that exact same type of love. Not just the emotions, but it needs to be shown in our actions. Our love needs to be a self-sacrificial type of love, where we are thinking about our wives, where we are thinking about our children. We are putting them first, and we are considering them. And not only do we do it for our families, but we do it for others. We do it for all people. This is what God wants us to do. And he wants us to do all things in love. And there's a benefit of when we do this. Have you ever heard the verse? I know we probably all heard it. You know that perfect love casts out fear. You know, when we have perfect love, if we really love God, then, you know, we won't be ashamed of him. Or if people say things, we'll speak up about it, things like that. And can that be true? Yes, that can be true. But when you look at the exact context of the verse, that's not really what the verse is saying. Let's look at it. Let's go back here to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And in verse 17. Previously, he was talking about the love that we have and the love that's perfected in us. And the love, if we love God, then we need to love each other. And then he says down here in verse 17, love has been perfected in among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. See, in the same way that God is, in the same way that he is, in the same way that he is so loving, that's the way that we should be in the world. That's the love that we should be showing. The same love that God shows, that's the love that we should show others. That's the love that we should show one another. And when we walk in that kind of way, when we have that kind of love, when everything is said and done, and we're standing before the Lord on Judgment Day, we don't have to stand there quaking in our boots. We don't have to stand there worried, oh, I hope I did it right. Oh, I hope everything went well. Oh, man, I don't know what he's going to say. See, if we are walking in love, we can stand boldly before God, because we can know within ourselves, I did what I was supposed to do. I love my wife like I was supposed to. I love my children like I was supposed to. I love the people in my church like I was supposed to. I love people outside of Christ like I was supposed to. I obeyed the Lord. I did what He said. I followed His word. And now I can stand confident in His presence because I know I did what He wanted me to do.
When we walk in love, that's what we should do as men. Those are the things that we need to do as husbands and as fathers and as brothers to our brothers and sisters in Christ. If we're doing those things, Satan is not going to be able to overtake our families. Satan's not going to be able to just move us out of the way. At least we will know that there is a godly person there who's willing to fight the good fight. Keep the faith. Let us all keep the faith. And if there's anyone here who wants to start their walk with Christ and have your sins washed away, or if there's anyone who just feels like you haven't been being the man that you should be, and that you haven't been being the father that you should be. And so I know at times I definitely don't feel that way myself. You know, so if there's anything you want to confess, or you just need prayers of the congregation, then would you please come forward while we stand, while we sing.